اوكي، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا ما علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. So we left off at the 13th principle last week in chapter 8. And it reads as follows. مسألة لا يعتقد في مشاجرة الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين أن كلا الفريقين على الحق والخطأ اجتهادي. That it should be believed regarding the dispute between the Sahaba, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them, أن كلا الفريقين على الحق, that each of the two parties respectively was on the truth. وَالْخَطَأُ اجْتِهَادِيٌ, and the mistake were to occur from either side was one that was juristic, meaning that when one of the sides were to try to make their best decision based on the information available to them, despite all proper efforts and exertion of oneself, it can happen that someone may arrive at the wrong answer. So these are what we call al-khata'at al-ijtihadi, meaning mistakes in decision making. That they're not per se venial or volitional. It just happened that a person arrived at the wrong answer. For example, a person who is a mujtahid, one who makes ijtihad, if he exerts himself and he arrives at the right answer, he'll get two rewards. And if he arrives at the wrong answer, he'll still get one reward, because it was not that he was trying to arrive at falsehood, but rather he just made a plain mistake in terms of his reasoning. But the effort and the process was correct, so he'll still get a reward. Similar is the situation that they just made an error in reasoning. So the commentary reads as follows. So إلى الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى المشاجرة الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. فقال عصم الله أيدينا من التلوث بدمائهم, فلماذا نولث بها ألسنتنا. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was asked about the dispute that occurred amongst the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with all of them. For example, between Muawiyah and radiallahu ta'ala an, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So that was a time of fitna. So Imam Shafi'i, he quite astutely replied, عَصَمَ اللَّهُ أَيْدِينَا مِنَ التَّلَوِّثِ بِدِمَائِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected our hands by being spoiled with their blood or laden with their blood. فَلِمَاذَا نُلَوِّثُ بِهَا أَلْسِنَتَنَا. Then why will we filthy our tongues with it? Meaning that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't raise them in such a time that they were involved and had to be involved in that fitna when actual war took place. They said, in this time, why will we dirty our tongue with speaking evil about any of them? فقال السيد عبد الستار النجم دامت بركاتهم شعرا معناه. So عبد الستار النجم, he narrates a poem, or he says in poetry, to the effect, الصحابة ولو اقتتلوا ولو اقتتلوا سعداء هؤلاء الشهداء أولئك شهداء. The Sahaba, even if they were killed, are always in a situation of being happy and felicitous. هَؤُلَاءِ شُهَدَاءُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ شُهَدَاءُ, that these are also shaheed, and the people on the other side were also shaheed. وَلْيَكُنْ نَصْبُ عَيْنَيْهِ كُلُّ حِينٍ قَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ الله الله في أصحابي, الله الله في أصحابي, لَا تَتَّخِذُوهُم مِّن بَعْدِي غَرَضًا, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ, وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ, وَمَنْ آذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ آذَانِي, وَمَنْ آذَانِي فَقَدْ آذَى اللَّهُ, وَمَنْ آذَى اللَّهُ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهُ. And this is riwayat in Tirmidhi, that alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah Allah, you know, regarding my sahaba, O Allah Allah, my sahaba, do not take them, do not, let them not take them min ba'di, after me, as a target. So whosoever loves them, then with my love, love them. And so whosoever hates them, then with my hate, hate them. And whosoever harms them, they have harmed me. And whosoever harms me has harmed Allah. And whosoever harms Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to take him. So the main lesson in this masala is sort of a follow-up to the previous one, that the Sahaba are the best of all the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if a person were to object by that, saying that, well, look at the Sahaba, that during their time there was such and such a fitna, then the way that we would reply to them would say that yes, that mushajara did occur, that dispute did occur, and warring did occur between them in that time of fitna, but that both of them were sincere, and they were fighting for what they truly believed to be the truth. And so we will consider both of them correct, even though in reality one party had made a decision in made an error in their decision making, but overall both will be considered correct. Similar to, for example, if you look at the Ahnaf, those who follow the Hanafi school of thought, they will consider themselves, the attitude is that we believe that we are on the correct opinion, and that other people are on the wrong opinion on a particular issue, meaning the closest to the Quran and Sunnah, with the possibility that we are wrong and they are correct. And they would have sort of the same attitude, that they believe that they are correct with the possibility they are wrong, that other people are incorrect with the possibility that perhaps they would be correct. But no matter which school of thought you follow, all of them are correct. Although in reality, you could say, you know, theoretically speaking, there's only one truth. How can two separate opinions be simultaneously correct? But both of them are admissible, and both of them are regarded as haq. That's sort of the latitude and pluralism that exists within the realm of ijtihad. So the same thing applies here. مَثَلَ قَالَتِ السُّوفِيَّةُ بَاطِلُ الشَّيْخِ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانِ, that some of the Sufis, they say that the inner aspect of the Shaykh exists in every place. Sort of the spirit of the Shaykh is everywhere. So commentary says, لا يعني هذا أن الشيخ حاضر وناظر في كل مكان, بل معناه أن المريد مهما يكون تبلغه توجهات من شيخه. This does not mean that the Shaykh is actually physically or quote-unquote spiritually present in every place, because that's obviously, that's not true. nor does it mean that he's watching a person no matter where they are, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can know everything and see anything, and only He is powerful over everything. في كل مكان بل معناه أن المريد مهما يقول. But rather, the meaning of the statement that باطن الشيخ, the inside of the Shaykh is everywhere, means that the murid, wherever he is, that the tawajjuhat or the spiritual attention, those anwarat that emanate from the Shaykh, can be directed towards the murid, even though he be halfway across the world. And I mean, there's more than one example where this is, you know, there's, I forgot the exact story, but there was one of the Muridin who was on the West Coast. And, you know, he had an ajeeb hal that came over him. So he actually wrote it down, you know, his lata'if became jari, or he felt, you know, very peculiar hal. So he wrote down the date and the time. And later on, he went and he corroborated, and found out that Hazrat was actually making tawajjuh towards him at that particular time. You know, similarly, you know, a sister, she wrote to Hazrat that, you know, alhamdulillah, every day she's sitting for, you know, dhikr for, I don't know, 4 hours or 8 hours, something like this. And, you know, he said, basically, alhamdulillah, but basically, this is not your command. This is basically the wajjuh of the Shaykh, which is being directed towards you, which catalyzes and gives you the, you know, the boost, spiritual boost that allows you to actually sit and have the fadl of sitting for, this first is from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sabab in the dunya, that's the wajuhat that the Shaykh is making towards the murid. This tawajjuh is basically a type of tasawwuf, and the basis for that actually is just in the Quran. I mean, there's more than one proof for tawajjuh, and it's probably only passed in the text. You can listen to the older recordings. But for example, قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك قال الذي عند علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. In the story of Sulaiman عليه السلام, that when the person who had علم of the kitab, he says, I will bring it even faster than the ifrit from the jinn, that before you even bat an eyelash, meaning the throne of Sheba. And so that ability to sort of effect some type of supernatural effect on their environment was something which is well established and even documented in the Quran. Number 15, mas'alatu karamatu. So basically, the Shaykh isn't everywhere. That's the take-home point. But just like the dua can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He can effect change any place where the person is, and then, quote unquote, the dua can reach an individual no matter where they are. Similarly, this tawajjuh of the Shaykh can also reach the person even if they're halfway across the world. Mas'ala. Karamatu waliyin la tadullu ala ifdaliyatihi. That the karama of, or the miracle of a saint does not indicate his superiority. The commentary reads as follows: الكرامة هي صدور أمر فوق العادة وله أسباب ثلاثة. Miracles are the occurrences of matters that are supernatural, and they have three different causes or possibilities. أولا قد تصدر الكرامات من الكاملين حتى يزدادوا قبولهم لدى الجمهور. That sometimes these miracles occur from those people who are kamil, meaning perfect and completed in their suluk, such that it increases their acceptance amongst the masses. وثاني قد يكون صدور الكرامة من الولي لتقصير منه حتى يتنبه الأولياء المختفون يخفون كراماتهم كما تخفي العامة عيوبهم. That sometimes a karama or a miracle emanates from a saint due to some type of deficiency that exists within the wali or the saint himself, or her, within the saint himself generally. Or, I mean, a wali can be a waliya as well, so or, his, or herself. حتى يتنبه الأولياء المختفون يخفون كراماتهم كما تخفي العامة عيوبهم. So the some of the, you know, the awliya, they would basically hide their miracles the way that the normal people hide their sins and deficiency. والثالث قد تصدر الكرامات من الناقصين والتفصيل ما يلي. And sometimes the karamat or miracles come and emanate not from a wali or from a kamil individual, but rather, what's that called, from those who are deficiency. And the details are as follows. So the first people who are kamilin are like, for example, I guess the anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would effect certain miracles upon their hands so that other people would know the truth of their message and they would accept them. Many examples from the life of the Anbiya, for example, Isa alayhi salam, Ubrihu al-Akmaha wal-Abrasa wa-Uhiya al-Mawta bi-Ithnillah wa-Unabbi'ukum bima ta'akhuluna fi buyutikum wa-Unabbi'ukum ma tadakhiluna fi buyutikum. That, you know, he would tell people what they're keeping stock in their houses, and he would heal the blind and the lepers, and he would bring the life, the dead to life by the izin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam, for example, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أتوكأ بها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى قال ألقها يا موسى فألقاها فإذا هي حية تسعى قال خذها ولا تخف سنعيدها سيرتها الأولى واضمم يدك إلى جناحك تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء آية أخرى لنريك من آيات ربنا الكبرى. So for example, the staff that he was given, when he cast it, it would turn into a snake, and when he would take hold of it, then it would return to its original form, and it would become again a staff. And he would put his hand into his armpit. It would come out illuminated. This was one of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had given Musa alayhi salam. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. That the final hour has drawn close. وانشق القمر. The moon has been split into half by the mere إشارة of his finger. Or when, in this example after example of the karamat of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the most obvious of which is the Quran. So those are kamilin. And sometimes, for example, the awliya, not necessarily a nabi, will have you know, a karama that would emanate from them, and they would generally hide their karama as seeing as that it was a manifestation of some type of deficiency that occurred from them. And the last category are those who are nafisin, that these are people who are not kamil, they're not awliya, they're basically, you know, sinful or marred people. And it's as follows. كل ولي يحتاج لعمور مراتب القرب الإلهي لأربع خطوات كل خطوة تسمى سيرا. Okay. So actually going in very much into detail here, that every wali has to pass the stations of close divine closeness and proximity via four steps, and every step is named sair, a travel or journey. Al khutwatul ula, the first step of passage, and this is the journey asair ila Allah. It's called the journey to Allah. ويقال لها العروج أيضا. It is also called ascension. ويصير الولي في هذه المرتبة من عالم الخلق أي عالم الأسباب إلى عالم الأمر. That the wali in this journey, he travels from the from the realm of creation, which is the realm of cause and effect, to alam al-amr, which is to the dimension of amr, the dimension where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says kun fayakun, and this is the realm of the souls. Al-khutwa al-thaniya, the second stage, is hiya sayr filla. This is the journey, quote unquote, in Allah. ويقول لها الفناء أيضا, and it is also referred to as فناء. ويجد الولي في هذه المرتبة السير في ذاته تعالى وصفاته. And the spiritual aspirant and the wali in this particular stage finds himself journeying in the ذات of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is in his attributes, and this is not to be taken literally, subhanahu wa ta'ala and ذلك, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a physical being such that a person could وَلِعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, you know, be journeying within the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak, or that in some way a person becomes one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person achieves this reality, they will understand what it means. But this is basically a type of fana. In a simple way to put it or understand it is a person becomes lost in their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that they lose themselves. It is as if all that exists to them is Allah. الخطوة الثالثة, the third step, is هو السير من الله تعالى ويقال لها النزول أيضا يرجع فيها السالك من عالم الأمر إلى عالم الأسباب. And so this is, for example, the state that, you know, Mansur Hallaj, for example, became stuck at. This fourth stage, الخطوة الثالثة, the third stage, he is سير من الله. This is the journey from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is also also referred to as the so-called quote dissension unquote, as well. يرجو فيها سالك, the spiritual aspirant returns from عالم الأمر, from the realm of the soul or the dimension of the command, إلى عالم الأسباب, to the regular dimension that we exist, which is the dimension of creation. And lastly, الخطوة الرابعة, and the fourth step, هي السير في الأشياء, and it is the journey في الأشياء, in things. ويقال لها البقاء أيضا, it is also referred to as quote unquote, not annihilation, not fana, but permanence, that a person remains in the world. So again, so this is a good example here. You see, وَسَيْرْ فِي اللَّهِ وَسَيْرْ فِي الْأَشْيَاءِ. Obviously, a person is not doing, when they're living in the world, they're not journeying inside people, they're living amongst people. So similarly, that you could think of سَيْرْ فِي اللَّهِ, you know, not in the same terms, obviously. But it tells you, that, again, that these are not to be taken literally. يَكْتَمِلُ فِيهَا قُرْبُ السَّالِكِ فَيَعِيشُ فِي عَالَمِ الْأَزْمَابِ. So a verse that it is completed, the closeness of the spiritual aspirant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he exists in alam al asbab, in this, you know, existential world around us. فظاهر the dimension of cause and effect. فظاهره مع الخلق وباطنه مع الله. So his outer being is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his inner being is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويجب أن يعلم أن السالك مهما اكتمل عروجه اكتمل نزوله. And it is necessary to know that the salik, that whenever his uruj is complete and perfect, then his nuzul will also be perfect. ومهما اكتمل نزوله تكون حياته الظاهر تحت الأسباب. That and whenever the descension is complete, then his outer being or his outer life will be completely under the purview of cause and effect. حتى يصعب الفرق بنظرة ظاهرة بين الرجل العادي وبين الولي. Until it becomes very difficult for a person to differentiate with just a casual look or even a discerning look between a normal person and between a saint. If you look at the, I mean, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, his situation, his nuzul was so kamil and his baqa was so kamil that when a person would come and they would look, they would say, أيكم محمد أو كما قال. They would say, which, صلى الله عليه وسلم, which one of you is Muhammad? Then they couldn't tell. Or for example, when he was outside Medina, that they mistook Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This just shows that this was this is not his nuqs, wal-ayyadu billah. This is not a deficiency, that he was normal. That just showed that his uruj was so complete that his nuzul was just as complete. فالكاملون يعيشون في العوام. So those people who are Kamil Sufis or Kamil Awliya, they live amongst the people, amongst the common people. ولكن الناس لا يستطيعون معرفتهم, but the normal people are not able to recognize him. ونظرا لأن نزول الأنبياء أكمل نزول كانت حياتهم الظاهرية ساذجة في بادي النظر يراهم الناس. That because the nuzul of the Anbiya was the most complete nuzul, their life was, their outer life was, or their public life was very simple, such that in an initial look, or just a simple look, a person, the people would see them and they would say, ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق. What is it with these with this messenger? He eats food and he just walks around in the markets. I mean, he's just like a normal person. وحياة سيد الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت ساذجة جدا. And the life of the Sayyid and the master of all the prophets was extremely simple. حتى يعصر في بعض الأحيان إدراك الحقيقة. Until it became difficult and sometimes to even discern what the reality was. بل كان الكفار يقولون, but such that even such at times the kuffar used to say, أهذا الذي بعث الله رسولا? Is this the person that Allah SWT sent as a messenger? أهل المدينة لم يعرفوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم دخل المدينة المنورة مهاجرا من مكة المكرمة. So the people of Medina, this I referred to earlier, they weren't able to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the day he entered Medina as a immigrant from Makkah Mukarramah. وَجَعَلُوا يُصَافِحُونَ أَبَا بَكْرَ الصَّدِّيقَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْهُ. And rather they began shaking hands with Abu Bakr رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. وَجَعَ رَابِيٌ مَرَّةٌ وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَالِسٍ بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِهِ فَلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا حَتَّى سَعَلَ مَنْ مِنْكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And an Arabi once came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was sitting amongst the Sahaba. He wasn't able to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the point that he had to ask, مَنْ مِنْكُمْ Rasulullah? Who from amongst you is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? الْكَامِلُونَ يَعِيشُونَ ظَاهِرًا تَحْتَ الْأَسْبَابِ. So the people who are kamil, they live in the outer life under the realm of cause and effect. For you are like under normal life. They don't live some type of supernatural life. For you are maluna mu'amilat al asbab. And so they, by and large, they will deal in the world the dealings of cause and effect. Hasba aslin. Under the principle anda inda dhanni abdi bi, that I am at the expectation of my slave with me. فَيَقِلُّ صَدُورُ الْكَرَامَاتِ مِنْ أَنْفُمْ. So it's very unusual and very few that you see karamat occurring from amongst them. فَجَمَاعَةُ صَحَبَةِ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ جَمَاعَةٌ يَخْتَارَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. So the Sahaba was the jama'ah or the group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had personally chosen them. وَلَكِنْ لَمَّا كَانَ عُرُوجُهُمْ كَامِلًا كَانَ نُزُلُهُمْ أَيْضُهُمْ كَامِلًا. But when their uruj was kamil, then the nuzul was also kamil. فَكَانَ صُدُورُ الْكَرَامَاتِ مِنْهُمْ قَلِيلًا جِدًّا. So you see very few miracles occurring from amongst their group. Did it occur? Definitely occurred. You know, there was Umar radiallahu anhu writing to the Nile and him saying, Ya Saria, and the voice reaching the group when he was warning them about the enemy, so on and so forth. So yes, there was very clear examples of miracles occurring, but they were few and far between. حتى كأنها لا شيء بالنسبة إلى كرامات الأولياء الأمة. Until it is, seems as if they're almost non-existent in comparison to the miracles that occurred at the hands of the awliya of the ummah. وَهَذَا لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى النُّقْصِ بَلْ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْكَمَالِ. So this is not a deficiency with regards to the Sahaba, but rather it indicates that they were perfect. And because they were so perfect, that's why they didn't have karama. وَهُنَاكَ أَمْرٌ آخرٌ يَجِبُ مُلَاحَظَتُهُ وَهُوَ أَنَّ أَيُّ سَالِكٍ مَهْمَا نَقَصَ عُرُوجُهُ نَقَصَ نُزُولُهُ. And there's another matter here that it is necessary to take note of. And that is for the spiritual aspirant or one who's traveling the spiritual path, that whenever his uruj or her uruj is deficient, then their nuzul will also be deficient. وَلَمَّا نَقَصَ نُزُولُهُ قَدْ يَتَوَقَّفُ أَمْرُهُ بِمَا فَوْقَ عَالَمَ الْأَسْبَابِ. And whenever their nuzul is deficient, then their matter is withheld. And they're stopped with bima fawqa alim al-asbab. They don't come down completely down into the normal realm of existence. فَيَصْدُرُ عَنْهُمْ أُمُورٌ تُخَالِفُ الْأَسْبَابِ. So certain times, certain things will occur from them that are outside the realm of cause and effect. Yani they're supernatural. And those things are called karamat. فَيْهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى النُّقْصِ. And so this actually indicates a type of deficiency. Now, obviously, these type of deficiencies, to ours, from our perspective, are like, oh my God, these guys are so kamil and so amazing and way beyond where we are. But if you look at, compared to the kamilin and the true sufiya and the true awliya, those people who arrive at the station, they know that these things are happening from them because then their uruj was not complete. And that's why they used to hide it, because it was actually a deficiency within them. Their role was to be like Rasulullah, and their goal was like to be the Sahaba, not to be like someone who can do all these, you know, parlor tricks, so to speak. وَفِيمَا يَلِي أَمْثِلَةٌ تُوْضِحُ مَا قُلْنَاهُ. And in what follows is some examples of what we have indicated. فالمثال الأول كان الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى من كامل أولياء هذه الأمة. So Hasan al-Basri was one of the most kamil awliya of this ummah. وَحَامِلِ عِلْمِ الظَّاهِرِي وَالْبَاطِنِي. He was a carrier of the outward knowledge and the inner knowledge. Meaning he was a great shari'i scholar, and he was also a great scholar of tasawwuf. And he was from amongst the generation of the khairul qurun, the best of generations. I believe he was either a tabi or tabi tabi. So سَبَقَ أَهْلُ عَصَرِهِ. So he basically outstripped all of the people of his time. أخذ الخرقة من سيدنا علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. So he took a piece of cloth from سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه. صحب 18 من أصحاب بدر. No, so he was tabi'in. And he, what's that called? Kept the company of 80 of the Sahaba of, from the Sahaba who had witnessed Badr radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmain. And I don't know if I mentioned this in a previous class, but even amongst the Sahaba, there were gradients. And so, for example, you had the Ashara Mubashara, that those 10 Sahaba that were given the glad tidings of, so you had the Khulafa al-Rashidun, right? So the first Khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu, who were also amongst the Ashara Mubashara. The next, another tier, for example, was the tier of the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 people who had been given the glad tidings of Jannah. And another tier, which was very lofty, were those 313 people who had witnessed the Badr. So they used to be called Badri Sahaba. And that was a very high sort of station amongst the Sahaba that were recognized by other Sahaba. كَانَ عُرُوجُهُ كَامِلًا وَنُزُولُهُ عَيْدٌ كَامِلًا. And so Hassan al-Basri, his uruj was kamil, and so his nuzul was also kamil. فَكَانَ حَيَاتُهُ ظَاهِرُ تَحْتَ الْأَسْبَابِ. So his outer life was completely under the realm of, you know, normal life. كَانَ حَبِيبُ الْعَجَمِيُّ مِنْ مُرِيدِ حَسْنِ الْبَصَرِ رَحْمُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So حَبِيبُ الْعَجَمِي was one of the murid of حَسْنِ الْبَصَرِ رَحْمُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. May Allah be, have mercy on both of them. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ عِلْمٌ ظَاهِرٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ عُرُوجُهُ كَامِلًا وَلَا نُزُولُهُ. وقصص هذين الشيخين محتاج إلى التحقيق إلى التحقيق. So and then there was what's that called, that he wasn't a Shari'i scholar, and his uruj wasn't complete, and thus neither was his dissension. So neither, since his ascension was not complete, his dissension was also not complete. And the stories of both of these are worthy of investigation. So here's the story. كانت الشرطة تطلب حسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى حتى يكلف بوظيفة حكومية ولم يكن الشيخ يرغب فيها. That the police were in search of حسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى, such that they could encumber him and they would charge him with a political and governmental post. And Shaykh Hasan al-Basri, he didn't have any like for it and he didn't have any desire for that post. فَحَرَبَ الشَّيْخ حَسَنُ الْبَصْرِي حَتَّى اِخْتَفَى فِي غُرْفَةِ الْحَبِيبِ الْعَجَمِي. So he ran and he fled from the police until he hid in the cave of Habib al-Ajami, this other shaykh. وَقَالَ يَا حَبِيبُ لَا تُخْبِرْ أَحَدًا أَنِّي اِخْتَفَيْتُ هُنَا. He said, Habib, don't tell anyone that I'm hiding over here. بَيْنَمَا كَذَلِكَ إِذَا جَاءَ الشُّرْطَةُ فَسَأَلُوا حَبِيبَ الْعَجَمِي. So until, and it wasn't, while he was, this was occurring, that it wasn't long afterwards, that a police came, and he asked Habib al-Ajami, هل رأيت الحسن البصري? Have you seen الحسن البصري? فقال نعم. So he said, yes, يختفى في هذه الحجرة. Yes, he's hiding in this cave. وكان الحسن البصري يسمع كلامه. الحسن البصري is listening to his speech. فصافت كأن الأرض خرجت من تحت قدميه. And so he started to fear. It was as if the earth was pulled out from underneath his feet. دخلت الشرطة في الحجرة. So the police entered into the room. فأخفاه الله تعالى عن أبصارهم. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى made him خفي, and he made him hidden from their eyesight. Basically, he was invisible. فتشوا هنا وهناك فلم يروا الشيخ فرجعوا. So they looked here, they looked there, and they weren't able to find him. So then they went back. فخرج حسن البصري وقال يا حبيب لما أخبرت الشرطة أني في الحجرة. He said, why did you tell the police that I'm in this room? فقال يا شيخ هل استطاعوا أن ينظروا إليك. He said, شيخ, were they able to look at you? يبدو ظاهرا أن رتبة حبيب العجمي عاليتهم. So he says, on the surface, it looks that the position of Habib al-Ajami was higher in this position, was higher than that of Hassan al-Basri. ولكن تفكر الحسن البصري تابعا لما تحت الأسباب كان تفكر حبيب العجمي تابعا لما فوق الأسباب. But rather the thinking of Hassan al-Basri was tabi'an, was under, or it followed what was underneath the realm of cause and effect, that meaning if a person enters in the room, they will see me. And the fakr, or the perspective, like, he was still stuck in the other dimension. He hadn't completely come down to earth, so to speak. And so Habib al-Ajami was still in that other realm. So فَكَانَ الشَّيْخُ الْبَصَرِ يَمُرُّ فِي الشَّارِعِ فَرَآ خِبَاءُ حَبِيبِ الْعَجَمِ مَوْضُوعًا فَتَحَيَّرَ أَيْنَ ذَهَبَ حَبِيبُ وَلِمَا تَرَكَ الْخِبَاءُ هُنَا فَوَقَفَ يَنْتَظِرُهُ وبعد قليل رجع حبيب العجمي فسأله الحسن البصري يا حبيب في ذمة من تركت هذا القباء فقال الحبيب يا سيدي تركته في ذمة من أقامك لحفظه فظهر أن تفكر حبيب العجمي تفكر ما فوق الأسباب وتفكر حسن البصري تفكر ما تحت الأسباب. So one time Hassan al-Basri was walking in the street and he saw a qiba that Habib al-Ajami had left behind. فَتَحَيَّرَ, so he became astonished that where did Habib go, and he left his qiba here. So وَقَفَ يَنْتَزِرُ, he kept on watching it, and after a little while, Habib al-Ajami, he came back. So Hassan al-Basri asked him, he said, yeah, Habib, why did you, who did you leave to look over your qiba, this qiba? So Habib said, ya Sayyidi, or my Sayyid, I left it in the care of the one who had made you stand looking over it and taking care of it. So it seems, right, so it became, on the surface it seems that, oh my God, he's so pious and he has so much tawakkul on Allah. But it became, what becomes apparent is that the thinking of Habib al-Ajami is under the tafakkur of what is fawq al-asbab, and the tafakkur of Hasan al-Basri is under ma taht al-asbab. So there's several other stories. There's two more, but we should probably just finish it so at least we can get to the punchline. Punchline. كان الحبيب العجمي يريد مرة أن يعبر البحر فلما وصل إلى الشاطئ وجد الحسن البصري جالسا فسأله لماذا تجلس هنا. Habib al-Ajami, one time he wanted to cross the sea. So when he reached the shore, he found Hassan al-Basri sitting there. So he asked, why are you sitting here? فَقَالَ أَنْتَظِرُ السَّفِينَةِ لِعَبُرَ الْبَحْرِ فَأَخَذَ يَتَكَلَّمَانِ. So he said, I'm waiting for the ship to come so that I can have passage across the sea. So he began talking. وَبَعْدَ لِأَيِّن فَقَالَ حَبِيب تَفَضَّلَ يَا سَيِّدِي أُرِيدُ الذِّهَاب فَقَالَ هَذَا قال هذا وعبر البحر ماشيا على الماء والحسن البصري جالسا ينتظر السفينة فجاء السفينة فعبر البحر. So basically, you know, while they were talking, and then for what? فقال حبيب تفضل يا سيدي أريد الذهاب. He said, come Sayyid, I want to go. So he started to walk on the water. He started to walk on water. And Hassan al-Basri basically waited for the ship. When the ship came, then he crossed the sea on the ship. يبدو من هذه القصص أن حبيبا شيخ كامل عالي المرتبة. So it appears that Habib al-Ajami was, you know, a kamil sheikh who was of high status. ولكن الحقيقة خلافه, but the reality was the opposite. كان الحسن البصري شيخ والحبيب العجمي مريد. Habib al-Ajami was just a murid. And the real sheikh was Hassan al-Basri. كان الحسن البصري كاملا وكان الحبيب العجمي ناقصا. حبيب الحسن البصري was كامل and حبيب العجمي was ناقص. كان حياة الحسن البصري موافقة لما تحت الأسباب. Hassan al-Basri was completely under the realm of cause and effect like the normal world. وكان حياة الحبيب العجمي موافقة لما فوق الأسنان. He lived a supernatural life. فكانت حياة حسن البصري أقرب وأشبه بحياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The life of حسن البصري was more congruent and more similar to the life of النبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولم يكن بحياة حبيب العجمي كمال مشابهة بحياة صلى الله عليه وسلم. The life of Habib al-Ajamli did not have complete مشابهة with the life of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فثبت أن صدور الخوارق لا يدل على الكمال. So it becomes established that the occurring of supernatural and preternatural events from the saints doesn't indicate their superiority in the fact that they are kamil and perfect and amazing. Now understand, I don't know if Hazaji will actually talk about this later, but even karamat can occur from people like Dajjal, right? So that's actually an indication that it's not a proof necessarily that a person is a wali. One thing may come to the mind that if the uruj is kamil and then the nuzul is kamil, then how did karamat occur at all from like the anbiya? Did it mean that their nuzul wasn't very kamil, wasn't completely kamil? No, these karamat that occurred at the hands of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam occurred not because it was a spiritual manifestation that was occurring from their wilaya. This was a manifestation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to occur for their propagation of their role as a Nabi, as a Rasul, for the propagation of da'wah. So if you look at the first principle or the first category, the caveat over there is لِقُبُولِ لَدَى الْجَمْهُورِ, in order that their acceptance is increased amongst the Jamhur. So this wasn't a manifestation of their spiritual state. It was basically to subserve the mission for which they were sent, which is to call the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at certain times, there was a need for these karamat to establish their haqqiyah amongst the masses. And there's a difference between the firq al-ada that occurs between the anbiya and other ones. Because the firq al-ada that occurs from the anbiya are mu'jizat. Mu'jizat are incapacitating, meaning that they're so powerful that there's no other explanation that it must have happened by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, for example, is mu'jiz, right? إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِ. If you have any doubt that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you bring a surah that is like it. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you're not able to do it, and you'll never be able to know it. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, then guard from the fire. Meaning, accept the truth that this is, it incapacitates the opponent, it incapacitates the skeptic, it incapacitates a doubter, such that it leaves no place that a person but except that they have to say that this is truly, you know, that type of mu'jiza that indicates prophethood. So the anbiya, they had mu'jizat, and then from the awliya, we would say that they have karamat. Now, mu'jizat obviously are a type of karama, a type of miracle, but they're different in their degree. Anyway, we'll hold it to here, inshallah, for this week. There's probably a little bit more of commentary also about these khutuwat, these four different journeys. That's actually a very important concept. Maybe I'll just mention it right now. We might forget next week. A very simple way to look at this is that there's a point where a person begins their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an awakening, and the person says, you know, I've been living a sinful life, I need to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they keep on getting close to Allah, until a certain point comes in their life where they lose themselves in the zikr of Allah. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if they're 100%, you know, in the akhirah, in focus in that realm, and they've completely become dismembered and disconnected with the dunya. And that's what we call fana. So that's basically 100% Allah in their consciousness. And then they come down from that state where it becomes like, you know, 80-20, 60-40, so on and so, not 80-20, but they start coming down from that state and start living back in normal life, because true wilayah is not to live in monasticism, but is to hold on to that until you eventually reach the level of bafa. And the level of bafa is that situation where a person is basically 100% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also 100% in the dunya. So you live the full gamut of normal life, but you, at the same time, you're fully 100% connected also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. So that's actually what we consider the height of the tasawwuf, that you live a normal life, but you live it in a way that you're completely under the sharia, completely, and you're completely living a very spiritual and connected life that that Rasulullah SAW lived. That kind of gets to Allah fi kulli ahyanihi. You serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times.